I wonder if you've ever imagined, wished, or hoped for a situation, and when you ended up in it, found yourself somewhat disappointed. Perhaps you hoped you might meet someone you admired, a celebrity or a role model. You imagined what you might say to them, that you'd be best of friends, and then perhaps you had the chance to meet them and they weren't what you hoped they would be. Maybe there was an experience you wanted to try or a place you longed to visit, and in the end it was a bit of a letdown or a disappointment. Perhaps there was a job you were lining up because you thought it would be better than the one you were in, or a college or a school you thought would be better than your present one. But when you got there, it was much the same as the one before. Perhaps this year, as you've thought back to life before COVID, you've found yourself, like I have sometimes, wearing tinted glasses, remembering things positively that perhaps at the time you weren't even a big fan of. We can so easily end up adopting thinking where we see the grass as always being greener on the other side. Or perhaps where we remember just the positives in a situation and not the struggles or the sadness or the pain that were part of it too. We so often speak of the good old days as if they were problem-free and in every way better than now. It's so important to remember, isn't it, where we've come from, to know our story. But we have to be careful we don't rewrite the story to suit us, or just remember the good parts and how we recall it. Now, personally, I cannot wait to get beyond these COVID restrictions. There are parts of life I am desperate to get back to. Meeting people, hugging people, visiting friends and family. But I'd be quite happy to leave the me-only thinking behind. The past can keep its constant busyness and pressure. And I'd like to think that some of the looking out for those most vulnerable in our communities will continue long past our current situation. You know, we are in a desert, 13 months now into a global pandemic. It's easy to look back and long for what was with its positives. But do we really want to keep holding on to an idea that was less than perfect? As we look forward to emerging from this COVID wilderness experience, what might we want to focus on? What might God still want to teach us and grow within us? As we wait on God, as we put our hope and trust in Him afresh each day, what might God want to reveal to us in the wilderness about His provision and His rhythms this morning as we wait? Now, over this Lent, we are looking at this short series. We're calling it Waiting in the Wilderness. So far, Jeffrey spoke to us of Jesus being tempted by the devil, how Jesus resisted Satan because Jesus knew who he was and he knew his scripture. Jesus left the desert strengthened in his faith and more focused on the mission his heavenly Father had given him. As we've been tested and tempted and tried in the wilderness of this pandemic, can we say the same? Have we been strengthened in our faith? Have we clung to our Heavenly Father? Have we come to know His word more in this time? And if not, there's still time to go deeper with Jesus. And then last week, we looked at the story of Abraham and Sarah. The promise of God for children amid circumstances that seemed to make that impossible. And yet Abraham in faith believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. In the desert, in the waiting that lasts years, how do we as followers of Jesus cling to the word of God? How do we rest in his promises he speaks over us and into our lives? And today we turn to the story of God's people, the Israelites in the desert, from the book of Exodus. God has delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. God parted the Red Sea to enable them to pass through it, to escape from Pharaoh's wrath. God miraculously provided water in the desert at the waters of Marah. But now the people have begun to grumble, to look back with rose-tinted glasses and question the heart and the care of their Lord. The Israelites are only weeks into a walk in the desert that will last 40 years. A journey across this wilderness could have been taken in just 2 weeks, but it becomes a trek of 40 years. Lessons are to be learned about trusting and obeying. Grace and mercy are to be received. And God's people have to learn what it means to live His way ahead of reaching the promised and assured land. What might God want to show us today, thousands of years later, about what it means to rely on Him for daily bread? How we are to navigate this desert season in His rhythms and not the world's? Let's jump into Exodus together this morning. Now, the Israelites are about just over a month into desert living, a month of living free from the slavery and bondage of Egypt. They've seen God do the miraculous in the plagues that pounded Egypt, Pharaoh eventually changing his mind and letting God's people go. The Red Sea was parted, they walked through it, and the Israelites have drunk fresh water from salty water sources. They've sung beautiful songs of praise and worship. But now they're grumbling against God and against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. Resources and patience have run low, and the people of Israel have come to Moses with these rose-tinted glasses on, with blurry memories of what their circumstances used to be. You see, they're in the desert and they're hungry and they're dreaming of good old days. They talk about meat pots and buffet tables of bread, and not the chains and forced labour they had borne in Egypt. Not the memory of the violence and the murder their families had experienced. You see, the wilderness experience had their memories twisted. Their physical hunger had them questioning the God who had brought them this far into freedom. Wilderness living had them confused. Their hunger had led to misplaced anger and a whole lot of ingratitude and crazy talk. But notice God's reaction is not anger, but grace. The Lord says to Moses, "Tell the people, I will rain down bread from heaven. The people will go out and gather a portion each day, and I will see if they trust and obey my instructions. Each day the Lord will give meat, quail, in the evening, and in the morning he will give bread, manna, from heaven, that his people might know that he is God and he will provide for them." As we saw last week, when God says he'll do something, he does it. He keeps his promises. But there was also a clear instruction too. See, each day the Israelites were to gather up an omer, about 2 litres for each household. And whether they gathered too much or too little, it's recorded that they each had enough for their needs. This is a miraculous provision. But the people were crucially to eat what they gathered. They were not to leave some till the next day, just in case there wasn't enough that came in the morning. They were to trust that the next day the bread would come again. Now, we're told that some just didn't listen. They tried to keep extra, but it rotted overnight, maggots, and with this rotting smell. And this angered Moses. Now, for 6 days, this was to be the practice. The people were to collect enough manna for their daily need. But on the sixth day, they were to collect enough for 2 days' provision, in order that on the seventh day, they would rest. They would take a holy Sabbath unto the Lord's. God's people in the desert were to imitate the Lord of creation, who labored and created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, rested. The Sabbath rhythm here given for the first time from God to his people. Later it will go on to become one of the Ten Commandments. Now we are told again that some Israelites in an already worrying pattern of behaviour don't listen properly. They go out on the seventh morning to collect manna, only to find none and angering the Lord again with their inability to listen, their inability to trust, their inability to rest. You know, this rhythm, this daily provision continues throughout the wilderness years. For 40 years, God miraculously provides daily bread and meat for his people. And time again, the Israelites suffer from memory loss, from ingratitude problems. They continue to try the patience of a God who provides for them. Now, it's a fascinating story, but what might God want to challenge and encourage in each of us this morning? Well, firstly, the God who provides daily for his people in the desert continues to be the God who supplies our daily bread, who provides for our needs. Some of us are familiar with the phrase Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. The God who provides for the Israelites in the desert is the same God who provides today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The key question, though, for us is, do we trust in him each day? Is give us this day our daily bread just a line we say when we recite the Lord's Prayer? Or is it the prayer of our hearts? What or who are we putting our daily hope in? Our wage packets? Our savings? The latest scheme someone tells us about? Or, if we're being honest, is it the God who gives us daily meat and finest bread miraculously to his people in the middle of a wilderness? Now we see again in our gospel reading the miraculous provision of Jesus. He feeds 5,000 men and thousands more women and children, side note, in the countryside with a fish finger sandwich packed lunchbox. Despite just having 5 rolls and 2 fish, everyone in the crowd is satisfied and 12 baskets of leftovers remain, because it's not about what we bring to the table, but about the blessings given out by Jesus' hands. It's not about our resources or our ideas, but about the God who provides for his people in both the good and the bad, the garden and the desert. We worship and put our trust in a God who is faithful, who makes a way where there seems to be no way. Do we trust him today for our daily needs, not our daily wants, not our comparison-driven desires, but do we know today that God meets us at the point of our need, that he provides for us? Or are we like the Israelites? Can we be quick to grumble, quick to forget the provisions and grace of the Lord? Quick to point out that we don't like fish finger sandwiches and wanting something else instead? Do we dream of a return to the past? Would we rather be captive again to sin and shame, or live in the freedom of God, albeit still in the middle of a desert? In this wilderness time, how are you trusting in God? Are you quick to forget the blessings of God in your life thus far? Have you forgotten the transformation God has led you through? Do you remember the tests that he gave you the strength to overcome that now are part of your testimony? Do you cling on and believe the one who has seen you thus far will continue to see you through? Now, the desert is hard, but the God who leads us through it is faithful. Where might we all be guilty, myself included, of taking God's grace and provision onto us for granted? Do we daily come before him with gratitude for his provision, his love, the dawning of a new day? Or do we do what I know we all sometimes do, where we just come to God with a shopping list of prayer desires? Lord, give me this or give me that. The desert is tough. There's testing to come. But when we cling to our Heavenly Father, there's also maturing that takes place. There are lessons to be learned, principles that have to be unlearned if we are to live free as God's people in the Promised Land. What is God birthing in us now as he works his purposes out in the desert season? Where is there things for each of us to give God thanks for each day? What rhythms of grace and gratitude does God want to birth in us in the desert, that we might live in his ways once our journey through this wilderness is complete? What holy habits can be formed in us now, that we might grow and mature in this time of testing, during Lent and in all that is still to come? You know, God's daily provision of manna and meat wasn't just about the food. God didn't just supply dinner for his people. He also gave them a week, a new way to measure time, a new schedule to abide by. You know, in Egypt, the Israelites had been slaves. They'd been driven by their master's demands, relentless and heavy labor as they struggled to bear on their backs Pharaoh's ambitious renovation plans. The Israelites had no say on shifts, no control over their days. And now in the wilderness, God wants to prepare them to live in the Promised Land with him in freedom. You know, the wilderness for the Israelites was a transition zone from slaves to free, from chaos to structure, from toil to work, from labor to rest. And in the wilderness, God gave his people a new rhythm. 6 days of collecting manna, and then one day of rest, a working structure, a holy Sabbath that they are to dedicate unto the Lord. In the wilderness, the Sabbath was to symbolize the movement from the chaos of slavery and fear to freedom and rest. After centuries of bondage, God had unshackled his people, and he wanted them to discover the holiness of time and the beauty of rest. They were to move from being slaves of Pharaoh to God's people, formed in the wilderness, learning new patterns for living, imitating their Heavenly Father, discovering what it means to know joy in living in obedience to God's ways and word. What does it mean for us today to observe a Sabbath? To set aside time to rest in God. Now, most of the week, many of us labour hard. Busyness is a driver in our culture. Many of us are tired out by shifts, the burden of what it means to make ends meet. And then Reverend Amy comes talking about the need for Sabbath and rest. And you may roll your eyes. What does it mean in the busyness of life to still find time to set aside for God? To soak up his word, to hear him speak, to shut off and turn down the demands of the world, and remember that we are human beings first and not human doings. Working hard, but not really living free. The Israelites were not to collect manna every day. They were to collect enough on the sixth day to allow them to rest on the seventh. Now, some of us are far too busy because we're taking on more than what we need. Some of us are busy because we're too disorganized to observe a Sabbath, because we procrastinate away too much time in the middle of the week. And then when we feel the pressure of work, if we're honest, it's God who's sacrificed first. When you're busy, who don't you fit in? The phone call with the friend? The shopping? Or the daily quiet time with the Lord? When you've procrastinated through the week, who gets cancelled on to make up the time work needs? God and his church. or the funding out. If we want to live in God's freedom, we've got to step into his rhythms. You see, we've got to turn our backs on the gods of our time, busyness, procrastination, the need for more, Netflix or whatever streaming app or social media app that sucks up your time each week. Challenging myself with these statements, if I've got time to binge watch a series or spend hours on Instagram or TikTok, YouTube or Facebook, you know what, I've got time to read my Bible each day and pray. Now let's be real, I know a lot of us work shifts. Work demands are huge. Sundays may not be possible as a day of rest. Speaking as an example, Sundays are very much a day of work. But what do I do the rest of the week? When you work on a Sunday, what about another day or time or hour in the week to come? When can you schedule in time with the Lord? If you miss Sunday service, when can you watch it back? Why not pick up a podcast, listen to some worship music, go for a prayer walk? What would it look like if we all scheduled in some Sabbath time in the week ahead so that it doesn't just get phased out by busyness? But what would it look like if we protected and honoured an hour of prayer a week? You know, are we living as slaves to the grind of the world? Or do we want to live in God's rhythms of grace? Yes, life means we've got to work hard, I get that. But what does it mean to plan ahead that we might spend time with the Lord day by day, week by week? Is God in control of our weeks and our lives? Or does he just get a slot in the diary when we don't have a better option or more pressing need? In this wilderness season, why not take the opportunity to learn some new rhythms? So that when these restrictions are lifted, we've developed the holy habits that Lent is about in the day-in, day-out living of living in Jesus' freedom. Daily time with the Lord. Time to pray. Growing in our walk with him. You know, even putting our quiet time in our diaries so that it doesn't just get filled in by other things. When I was a student at university, my student pastor used to say to me, Amy, you've got time for everyone. The person you don't have time for is the one who's sitting in your living room. There's nobody in my living room. He said, your Bible. Because you don't prioritise it, it doesn't happen. If Jesus was waiting next door, you would have already gone in and offered him a cup of tea. But you're filling up your diary with all your social engagements, sometimes a little bit of time in the library, but mostly you're so busy jumping around this thing and that thing. The person that you need to be basing things on is being entirely phased out. It's not because you don't want to spend time with the Lord, but just because you don't prioritise it. You try and fit him into your 2 minutes here and your 5 minutes there. What does it look like for us to learn some of these rhythms that God gives to his people, not just to put more pressure on, but because in this time of rest, of refreshment with the Lord, of knowing his peace, of praying for the situations on our heart we can't change, but he can, that we might know his peace and hope and rest and purposes in our lives. You know, so much of how we do life at the moment is just rushing from one thing to the next. Doesn't sound like really living, does it? What's in control of our lives? Our busyness, our diaries, or the God who gives us moments to work and to work hard? The Israelites worked hard, but they were also to be refreshed by spending time with the Lord. In the wilderness, God teaches his people new patterns of life. He provides for their daily needs. He responds in love and grace to their grumbles and disobedience. As we wait in our wilderness, what is God teaching us today? Are we trusting on him for our daily bread? Are we prioritizing him in our schedules? Do we fit in time daily with him? Do we grumble and moan and long for days in the past because we're hungry or bored or frustrated or tired? Do we turn to Christ or to temptation in the desert place? What is God teaching us in the wilderness that we might be a changed and holy people by the time we reach the destination he is leading us to? You know, it took the Israelites 40 years to walk a two-week journey because it took their stubborn hearts 40 years to learn to trust and obey, to live God's way. They just kept going round and round in circles because they refused to listen. You know, what lessons is God teaching us now in this pandemic desert? That we might live holy, devoted lives unto him when we emerge into a new normal. Will we waste this time? Or will God grow our faith and reveal himself as our provider, our guide in the days and weeks and months to come? The wilderness for the Israelites was a time of transition. It was a reset from slavery to freedom, from Egypt's rule to God's grace. What is God resetting in us and in our worldview today? It's hard. And if I'm being honest, I am exhausted too. But what is God resetting and rebuilding and renewing in each of us? In a time of tiredness and exhaustion, if it isn't time to learn to rest as God calls us to, when will it be? Give us this day our daily bread. Would this be the prayer of our hearts today and every day to come? Are we ready to trust and obey and listen to the God who provides this day?